to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. My name's Robin Daly, and as well as the host for this show, I'm the founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity, promoting choice and patient-centred care for those with cancer for the last 20 years. My guest today is returning to the show for a second time. Pauline Cox is a highly trained and skilled functional nutritionist who's also the co-founder of Sown Arrow, a food store in Bristol, which features a low-carb bakery. Today, I'm going to be speaking to Pauline about inflammation.
Hi, Pauline. Really pleased to have you back as my guest again on the Yes to Life show.
Hi, Robin. It's such a pleasure to be back. Thank you for asking me.
So last time you were on the show, we spoke at length about supporting the body's innate healing abilities and how you see that as a number one strategy. That's in contrast to the concept of interventions. You spoke about removing barriers to health. So that's a way of looking at healthcare that resonates very deeply with me, I must say. Of course, there's a time and a place for interventions, for sure. But particularly when it comes to chronic conditions, there are even many conventional clinicians who are prepared to admit that the body does most of the important work itself. So that's provided that we don't persist in undermining it, and even more so if we actively support it. So today, we're going to focus in on inflammation, one of the very few things that absolutely everyone, as far as I can tell, seems to agree is at the root of pretty much all chronic disease, providing fertile ground for problems and driving them forward. So can we start out with a broad look at the elements of what we call modern lifestyle that are the drivers of inflammation? As a species, what are we doing to cause this issue?
Oh, and there are many, Robin. We're very good at creating the perfect breeding ground for these chronic inflammatory situations. And a lot of it comes down to actually quite simple daily habits, such as the foods we're eating, but then also the lifestyles we're living, the stress, poor sleep, driving ourselves hard, so chronically elevated cortisol. These are ideal circumstances for driving chronic illness and particularly chronic inflammation. So when, for example, we look at our diet, there is a number of indirect ways and direct ways that can impact our inflammatory pathways. It can be via the gut. So the gut microbiome itself, this collection of microbes, can be pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory, but then also the integrity of the gut lining. So whether that gut lining is nice and intact as it should be, this semi-permeable membrane allowing certain things through into the bloodstream and stopping other things going through. If that's become leaky, as the term is loosely named, then endotoxins and food particles can pass into the bloodstream and constantly poke at the immune system. Then, of course, there's the types of food we're eating. Are they foods that are driving inflammation? Are they high in pro-inflammatory type of nutrients? For example, are we getting the right balance of omega-3 and omega-6? Are we getting plenty of fiber? Are we eating foods that are spiking our blood sugars and driving something called insulin resistance, which is hugely important for chronic illness? So there are a number of low-hanging fruit, a number of areas that we can readily access within our diet and lifestyle that can help us to start to take control and create a daily protocol or daily habits that will really help to protect us against chronic inflammation, chronic illness, and a healthy longevity outlook, if you like.
Yeah, well, this is kind of the heart of lifestyle medicine. It's now, fortunately, got some science to back it up. It's not just an idea that all these things matter. We now know how they directly do affect things like inflammation.
Yes.
And as I say, everyone admits that inflammation is bad news. So, I think it's interesting how that causative effect of lifestyle choices is slowly moving outwards, and it's embracing more and more things, and actually some things which would seem to be completely disconnected from healthcare as we know it are actually big players in this. So, I mean, if we talk about our social connections, for example, where does that figure in healthcare? Well, not really. But actually, that's, I think, is the biggest predictor of our longevity, is now acknowledged.
You're absolutely right. I mean, social connection is so important for our nervous system and our mental well-being. And we know that chronically elevated cortisol, one of our stress hormones, is damaging to our health and well-being. It suppresses our immune system, so how well our immune function is working. Cortisol directly speaks to the liver. Cortisol is this, it's like Wreck-It Ralph. It is a rampant hormone that will go around the body and destroy your own tissue in order to feed the liver, in order to produce glucose.
Wow.
Because when we're in that elevated cortisol state, we're in a state of fight or flight. We're in a state where the brain believes we're in danger and we need to flee that danger. So the body's releasing fuel, an immediate source of fuel, so we can flee danger. So cortisol is breaking down bone, muscle, collagen, anything it can to fuel the liver. The liver, through a process called gluconeogenesis, which is making glucose, will then take all those amino acids, those building blocks, and pump out glucose. Now, the pumping out of glucose is one thing, but what that actually does is elevates our blood sugars chronically, and then the poor pancreas has to pump out insulin to bring down those blood glucose levels. And over time, this creates an insulin resistant picture. And that insulin resistance is in itself a huge driver of chronic illness. So, you know, we've got this inflammatory picture from the high blood sugars, the high cortisol levels, but also then this insulin resistant picture. And of course, the impact on the immune system. And let's not forget, the immune system is our immunosurveillance. It's the immune system that goes around looking for these cells with mutations. And often with cancer cells, and Professor Angus Dalgleish talks a lot about this, it's not the one mutation or the two mutations. It's the multiple mutations within the cell that then goes on to become a cancerous cell. So it is the job of the immune system to look out for these cells with these mutations and just destroy them, get rid of them. But when that immunosurveillance, the T cells in particular, are suppressed, that provides this environment for cancer cells to then multiply and thrive. And it is the suppression of the immunosurveillance, the T cells, that happens during chronic inflammation.
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting how these mechanisms we have, which are inbuilt, which are actually useful things for survival in the world and in nature, have got repurposed for something completely fruitless, which is, you know, dealing with stresses which don't require us to run away or anything else that we might need that glucose for, is to actually get away and make ourselves safe. I mean, that, what a great thing that is, to have a mechanism that just switches on the power when we need it. But imagine that thing's ticking away all the time just because we're stressed about our boss or whatever it is. It's working for no reason at all and damaging as a result. It seems that happens so often in our modern life, is that things which used to be for real purposes have now come along for relatively virtual purposes. They're working and they're doing this damage.
Absolutely. And that cortisol picture, as I mentioned earlier, not only is it driving insulin resistance, but it's also, it's a slow way of damaging our body gradually over time. And so we are, all those elevated blood sugars are generally getting stored as fat. At the same time, this visceral fat, this fat within our trunk, is very inflammatory. So it's adding a further inflammatory load to the body. And also the cortisol loves to attack particular muscle groups. It loves the thighs. It loves the glutes because they're big, chunky muscles. So people tend to find they're losing this very, very important lean muscle mass, which is not just there for structural support. We now know how important muscle mass is for healthy immune function. You know, that the muscle directly communicates with the immune system, and it's actually directly linked with longevity. The more lean muscle mass we have, the better protected we are with a younger immune system. And so you get these compounds called myokines, which are released from our muscles, which help to support the immunosurveillance part of our immune system and help to keep cancer at bay. And really, this is why cancer, particularly previously, it's becoming not so much now, but cancer used to be very much an age-related problem.
Yes.
Our immune system was aging and we were losing muscle mass. Our chronic inflammatory levels were going up, so that immune surveillance was being suppressed. But we're seeing more of it because it's less of an age-related problem now because it's more now a chronic health-related problem. And people are becoming chronically unwell at a younger age as a result of our diet and lifestyle choice.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating that all the science is emerging about muscles because they were just kind of mechanical stuff before, weren't they? And they began to notice that, exercise, everything was good for chronic disease, but I'm not sure anybody quite knew why. But, it's fascinating how it's emerging that they're what an integral part of our health and well-being they are.
Absolutely. And they truly are. And this is why when we think about our muscle health, we really want to be thinking about that prehabilitation period, also during active treatment and post-treatment, maintaining our muscle mass, maintaining our protein intake, because let's not forget how important protein is for bones and muscles and skin. And let's not forget the immune system as well. Much of our body relies on amino acids, the building blocks we get from protein. And so ensuring the body's getting plenty of protein and, of course, what we need to build lean muscle and prevent muscle loss is omega-3 fatty acids, which help to create the cell membrane of the muscle, which allows this nice flexible cell membrane, allows the influx of amino acids to build muscle, but it also helps protect from muscle loss.
Interesting. Okay, there's one other thing I'd like to talk about before we move on, and that relates to what we were talking about the last time we had a discussion, which is this kind of, I might describe it as a trust in nature.
Mm.
So the body's own ability to heal itself, and actually that's probably the number one force at work. We can help it, if we're savvy, for sure. But, the will to live is an extraordinary thing.
Yes.
And it does drive so much. And the body actually, even when we're not good to it at all, spends its whole time doing its very best to stay well and whole, against the odds, even when we're mistreating it. So it's an extraordinary thing, this movement of life towards health and wholeness all the time. And, I think we're in an age where there's, in many spheres, there's less and less trust in nature and more disconnection from nature in this, people preferring virtual environments to real ones, spending no time actually in nature. The science now, another area where the science that's evolving about what actually goes on when we're out in nature in terms of our immunity and all this inflammatory markers, etc., is extraordinary. And but so many people have lost that completely, and they spend their whole time on the sofa in front of the telly or whatever it is, are playing games on the computer. And, in terms of what we're talking about, to me, this is a massive part of it because it involves two things. One is this disconnection and inactivity.
Yes.
And social disconnection, usually at the same time as well.
Yeah.
And quite a killer, I think. But anyway, anything you want to throw in on that?
Yeah, and I would also say it disconnects us from the simplicity of accessing things that we wouldn't even necessarily think of when we're outdoors. For example, when you're outdoors walking past trees and plants and you're breathing in air, you're impacting your gut microbiome. You're breathing in nature in itself. You know, this is nature's gift to us. We're not part of nature. We are nature. And so when you're walking through a forest, the benefits of walking through that forest will support your nervous system for many, many hours after you've left that forest. The calming influence of Mother Nature on our nervous system, the physical benefits of Mother Nature on our gut microbiome, the impact of seeing color, green and blue from the water. These are all low-hanging fruit, as I keep referring to, because it's free and it's not always accessible. I accept that because not everyone has access to green space. But even if we fill our small balcony or our windowsill with green plants, that in itself is going to have benefit calming effects on our nervous system. So when we think about going outdoors and breathing in, or gardening, or being around plants and smelling plants and handling leaves and trees, and thinking about just that small act impacting our gut microbiome.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
As I mentioned at the beginning, our gut microbiome is a really important influence on our inflammatory system, on our either pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. And our diet has a huge impact on this, but also treatment, the various treatments available to individuals going through cancer can be quite disruptive to our gut microbiome. So we always want to be thinking, how do I support my gut microbiome? Pets in the house, believe it or not, are beneficial to your gut microbiome. The food that we're eating, the brightly colored berries, the sauerkraut, the beetroot, the tomatoes, all of these simple, colorful foods that nature provides us for are really beneficial for our gut microbiome. And then looking at other, you know, if I mentioned this to you previously about the benefits of an omega-3 called SDA, stereodonic acid, again, available in nature, in evening primrose oil, but also this incredible oil called ahi flower oil, which is grown here in the UK. Now, SDA is a fatty acid that helps to increase the beneficial microbes within the gut, but it also helps to support the integrity of the gut lining. So it's helping to heal and rebuild that part of the gut that drives systemic inflammation when things are getting into the bloodstream, poking at the immune system and driving this chronic inflammatory picture, which, as we've established, suppresses the T cells, the immunosurveillance, and increases something called angiogenesis, which is providing a blood supply to a specific area of the body where cancer can thrive. So it's this seesaw effect. When we've got this long-term chronic inflammatory picture, we've got this perfect breeding ground for cancer cells to thrive. And what we want to do is create a really hostile environment for cancer cells. So we want to bring T cells back to a normal level and not have this suppression of the immune system and eradicate that chronic inflammatory picture.
Mm-hmm. the point you made about the fact that we're not really in relationship with nature, that we are nature, is a very powerful one, and not one that people really take terribly seriously necessarily. It's extremely powerful because instead of us seeing nature as something that we manage, do stuff with, it's for just for our benefit, or it's a bit of a nuisance, we need to keep it at bay and spray it with chemicals to keep it down, whatever it is, the ideas are all ones about controlling nature, which is totally uncontrollable, of course. And if we try and control it too much, we're going to pay for it. But, the realization that we are nature actually changes the way we relate to nature, funnily enough.
Yeah.
So,
And just on that point, Robert, I would add that if we destroy nature, we're destroying ourselves.
Exactly.
When we pollute our air, when we pollute our oceans, when we spray our land and destroy our soil, we're ultimately destroying ourselves. And this is why it pleases me so much to see people recognizing that in order to heal us as a society, we have to first turn our attention to how we're treating our planet and how we're farming and how we are growing our food, because we're only as healthy as the food we're producing. We're only as healthy as the soil that food is grown in.
Mm.
We're only as healthy as the water that soil is being provided with and the drinking water we have access to. So there are no shortcuts to these things. And this is where it's a slow process. But as we start to waken up to the fact that we're intrinsically involved with one another, with the soil we walk on, with the air that we're breathing, we can't separate ourselves. And in order to really be healthy and well, there needs to be a symbiotic relationship between us, the planet that we live on.
Yeah, absolutely with you. Well, that consciousness is there now, at least, and it's growing, I think, but no way is it a done deal. The other one that's where a radical change is needed is in the relationship with bugs. If I talk about them in the broadest terms, we've just been through, COVID, where everybody went around slopping chemicals on their hands every 5 minutes in order to kill every bug in sight. And that's had a lasting effect. I think, everybody used to laugh about Howard Hughes, the millionaire who had himself locked away in an apartment and everything posted through a little thing so he didn't pick up any bugs. But actually, the whole population has got more like that now. We have this fear of bugs. But of course, the fear drives us to lose our immunity. You spoke about having pets in your home is a good thing. Why? Well, they bring lots of bugs in, don't they? And we've actually got to learn to welcome bugs into our life. Of course, there are bad ones we don't want. We don't want to just, allow dangerous molds or something to get in the place. We ought to be wary, discriminating about it. But in the main, nature, with all its bugs and everything, is us. And we need to revel in it. And our immunity comes directly from bathing in all of that environment.
Yes.
So it's a big change of attitude, I think, needed there.
I agree with you. And I think we've learnt to fear possibly what we don't understand. And there's been, as you mentioned, the last sort of 4 or 5 years, a strong narrative around mask wearing and hand sanitizing and spraying everything. And we've evolved with an highly intelligent immune system that protects us. And really, it's so interesting we're talking about this because I was having a very similar discussion this morning around the germ theory. And, I don't fear germs because I have a resilient immune system. I look after my immune system to the point where it's something I'm constantly thinking about. Where will my immune system be functioning in 10, 20, 30, 40 years' time? I don't drink alcohol. I make sure I get plenty of zinc, both in my diet and supplementary-wise, because it's important for my thymus and my T cells. I weight train to ensure my muscles are in good shape. Yes, for my skeletal health and my bone health, but actually, yes, also because of the benefits on longevity and keeping my immune system young, so to speak. So it's a lot of people might think of anti-aging as a physical, like an aesthetic aspect. For me, it's very much a, how am I protecting my immune system to have that resilient, powerful system within my body as long as humanly possible for me? So my cognitive function is there, my brain function's there, but my immune system is like this silent army ready to attack when it needs to.
It's just interesting how sort of spiritually and emotionally different the relationship to life, the one of trying to avoid bugs on the one hand, or building up your immune system so as you're strong to go wherever you go and to be healthy. And even if you're not healthy and you pick up a bug, well, it's not the end of the world. You'll get through it and you'll be have an even better immune system afterwards.
You deal with it. Absolutely.
Is quite a different attitude and relationship to life, really.
Yeah, and that fear in itself, that fear that we have around sickness and bugs and contamination. And I totally understand there's a lot of fear around cancer, because when someone's been through a really challenging time or going through it, it instantly puts your nervous system into a state of fear.
Yeah.
And this can be really challenging for a lot of people. It can be challenging for sleep. It can be challenging for anxiety. It can be challenging to try and really calm the nervous system. However, if that can be achieved through walks in nature, through connecting with other people, through painting, listening to music, dancing, anything that helps to soothe the nervous system, particularly sleep. Sleep is incredibly important for a number of reasons, but it's really important for insulin sensitivity, energy, creating normal cortisol levels. Sleep is foundational for our health. And if we're stressed and concerned and fearful and worried, sleep is one of the first areas that becomes impacted. So it's a really important pillar that we address, is that ability to have confidence in our body and in our body's innate ability to tackle whatever lies ahead through providing the body with the building blocks, the recipe, the ingredients within that recipe that it needs to get through the challenges ahead. And our bodies are mind-blowingly wonderful at adapting, sometimes to our detriment. But if we give our body, and it's one of the first things I teach a lot of the clients I work with, is start to recognize how incredible your body is. Start to give it some kudos. Start to think, wow, my body is just amazing. There's a fabulous book by a lady called Dr. Lisa Rankin, Mind Over Medicine. And I recommend it to everyone. The family members of people going through cancer, if you've been diagnosed yourself, this book is such a great tool because it helps you to get confidence in your body again. And it helps you to recognize that your mind has a really powerful effect over all of the systems in your body.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
interesting. Yeah, I must say one of the key narratives of cancer I've always found is particularly suspect. I harbour a belief that one day it will be shown to be completely untrue, which is that cancer is your own body turning against you. The trouble with that story is that it does move people into an area of huge mistrust of their own body, which they thought they could depend on to keep them alive. And now suddenly it's attacking them. And that's a terrible thing, because it's like we all know how damaging it is for people to be divided. Psychologically, you know, it's bad. But to actually feel physically divided in this way, you know, where your own body's attacking yourself, it strikes people very deeply. And I say it's a narrative.
Yeah.
Nobody actually knows actually what cancer is yet. There's no actual, proven story of what cancer really is. And I don't think that's it personally, because my experience of the body is it never, ever does that. It always does its very best, however trying the circumstances are, to keep you well and whole.
Yes. Well, the one thing as well to recognize about cancer is a lot of cancers take decades to develop.
Yes.
And so our body will do everything it can in the environment and the circumstances it has,
yes,
to stay alive and to do its best with what it's given. So if we give it a highly stressful life and we're not looking after it so well, and we're choosing coping mechanisms that are not supportive of being particularly healthy, then eventually, those choices, like if we're smoking, for example, and chronic bronchitis over years can develop into lung cancer because of this chronic inflammatory picture within the lungs. And so it's the body is doing its very best to survive in challenging circumstances. And our modern lives are quite challenging for us. There are odds with how our bodies want to be. Outdoor in natures, living off the land, living off fresh berries off bushes and wild meats that we walk for days and hunt down. Instead, we tend to spend too much time indoors under highly pressurized situations, financial pressure, family pressure, sometimes health pressures because of not having access to the right kind of foods or making choices for foods that aren't ideal for us. And eventually that picture can manifest as a chronic health condition such as cancer. But what's important to recognize is the body's never working against us. It's doing the best it can in the circumstances it has. And so rather than going, wow, I've developed this cancer, what's wrong with my body? I always try and reframe that with people to, our body's given us a bit of a wake-up call, or our body's given us a gift of, you know, a classic person who says this is Julia Bradbury. She will say, I thank my body for the warning it gave me of cancer, because now I have the opportunity to change my life and the lifestyle and the diet and the drinking and the sugar I was eating and all these different things to give my body a healthy environment to be in. And so she sees it as a, she saw it as a big fork in the road that shunted her in a completely different direction. And so we can see sometimes these situations as opportunities to go, my body's telling me that I need to look up, you know, what I'm eating and how healthy my gut is and am I sleeping well and what's my stress like. And by no means is that a person's fault. It's unfortunately the modern lives that we live in. And it's not always congruent with how our physiology is designed to be.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anyway, right with you there. Yeah. And so many people do, fortunately, take that opportunity that you described of cancer to actually build a completely different kind of life to the one they had up to then, mm-hmm. and one which they will value very highly as well. And they won't ever want to go back to where they were before,
yeah.
even though that they were cancer free before, in theory, they wouldn't want to go back there.
No.
So extraordinary thing.
Yeah.
So look, I just want to come back. You were mentioning earlier on omega oils and their relationship to inflammation and everything. So, and you mentioned this development of a new omega oil, which hasn't been around long.
Yeah.
And maybe you want to talk about it a bit more because it is a new thing. And what's driven its development and what does it offer and to whom?
Well, I've always wanted to find a fish oil alternative. And I think most of us know the benefits of fish oil in terms of their impact on our brain health, our cognitive function, our memory, mood, heart health, cardiovascular health, you name it. It's been researched with fish oil. However, when we think about our resources and the planet and how sustainable fish oil is, and sometimes how high quality that product is, it's not always the ideal situation. So a number of years ago, I came across a British crop being regeneratively farmed here in the UK called ahi flour. And the producers said to me, you know, you might want to look into this oil. It is essentially a sustainable version of a fish oil, and it has some additional benefits. And I was a little dubious because I thought, I don't think you can really get a plant-based fish oil because you...
Well, that's the story, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't get EPA or DHA, these really intelligent fats. But the more I looked at it, the more I realized it was actually a unique fatty acid profile in that it had very high levels of a fatty acid called SDA. Now, most omega-3 in plants comes in the form of ALA, which is found in hemp and chia and linseed. And ALA doesn't convert particularly well up to EPA and DHA. However, the rate-limiting step is its conversion to SDA. So SDA, as it turns out, converts readily into EPA and DHA. And so all of a sudden, we've kind of removed that element of, well, we're not getting the EPA and DHA. And actually, the research now has categorically shown through carbon isotope tracking that that SDA converts really well up into EPA and DHA. So we're getting those intelligent fats from this plant-based omega. But the other additional benefit of this SDA within ahi flour oil is its impact on gut health and the gut microbiome. So it increases a group of bacteria called Bacteroides. It really helps to repair the integrity of the gut lining. It increases something called endocannabinoid-like substances, which are these balancing compounds that help to balance the system, balance the hormone system. They have these lovely balancing effects throughout the body. And it's a really sustainable way of obtaining your omegas. So it was something that I became very interested in learning more about and understanding how the research reflected this. And, you know, there's quite a lot of research now. They've been researching this particular plant for about 30 years. It's indigenous to the UK. It's related to borage. And it has some pretty impressive research behind it now to show how it can be great for anyone, particularly if you're in that prehabilitation stage of cancer and you want to support your gut microbiome and reduce inflammation in terms of the inflammatory load via the gut. And it also has, as SDA converts into EPA and DHA, and this is really, I think, important, and one of the key differences between taking a fish oil and taking something like ahi flour oil, is the destination isn't always what we're after. So when nature provides us with something like SDA, the conversion up to EPA and DHA has all these little side benefits, these metabolites that come off. So SDA gets converted to ETA, gets converted to EPA, gets converted to DHA, and all of these compounds in their own right have beneficial, they're beneficial to the body. Even something called interleukin-10 is increased when we take ahi flour oil, which is really, it's an anti-inflammatory cytokine that supports joint health and skin health and muscle aches. So it's really wonderful for people who are getting aches and pains and need a bit more support with their joints. And, you know, I don't know many people who don't want to help support their joints and muscles. And then there's also a fat in there called GLA, which is really wonderful for dry skin and retaining moisture within the skin. So it's this plant, and I love plant-based medicine anyway. I love the idea of being able to get something from nature that's sustainably grown. It's respectful of the soil. We're not using insecticides. It's cold-pressed. It's clay extracted. So we're not using solvents. And it ticked a lot of boxes for me in terms of its sustainability and ecological credentials.
Right.
That relationship that I'm really keen for myself to build with nature and not take something from nature like a fish oil that is taking and not giving back. So it became a really important message for me to help spread that we can use a fish oil alternative that's as beneficial with additional benefits for our gut microbiome, our gut health integrity, joint health and muscle health as well.
Interesting. So for people going through cancer, I mean, it's quite well known that a fish oil, for example, is a good thing because of its anti-inflammatory properties, particularly, yes?
Yes.
So this plant oil is a direct swap for that. They could just use that instead.
Yeah.
Obviously, it'd suit somebody who was, a vegan or vegetarian very well, because they don't have to have fish oil, which they probably don't want to, but they might feel they have to. So that's great. And as you say, there's maybe a much bigger picture to look at in terms of its ecological impact.
Yes. And you'll find a lot of people who are looking for a vegan or vegetarian option go for algal oil. So and they will get their DHA from there, but they're also missing out on the benefits of the SDA, which is this further back along the chain fatty acid that, as I mentioned, really benefits the gut microbiome, helps with the integrity of the gut lining. And that's a really key area that's driving inflammation.
Right.
Looking at our modern day diet and, things that we often have no control over. We're breathing in toxins. Our air is polluted. The food that we eat can come in packaging that's often impacting our gut health. With all the will in the world, our gut health is often compromised just through the modern lives that we live. So whatever we do to support our gut health is really great.
Mm. So, obviously there's kind of two strategies available to you when it comes to inflammatory lifestyle. You can cut down the number of them you're doing on the one hand, but as you say, actually quite a few of them are unavoidable, in fact. So on the other side, you can build up your ability to deal with those and tolerate them well.
Yeah. And they're often, as you mentioned, cutting down on the chronic stress, the foods that upset our inflammatory picture, high blood sugars, ultra-processed foods. But then, as you mentioned, there's also other things that help with that inflammatory picture, like, fiber, anti-inflammatory foods like turmeric and ginger, oily fish. But then the supplements that are particularly beneficial, as I've mentioned, like ahi flower oil, which in terms of a supplemental form, can be found in something called regenerative amoebas, which is the soft gel, or you can get it as a liquid. So if you find someone who's not wanting to swallow a soft gel or half a teaspoon is all you need, and it can be mixed into yogurts or smoothies. And because it's such a lovely flavor, it's not a fishy flavor, obviously, because it's not fish oil.
Right.
Very palatable. You can literally just take this off a teaspoon and just let it slip down your throat or mix it into a bit of yogurt. You're not going to taste anything unpleasant, which is a real bonus for people who have been impacted with their appetite or are feeling nauseous, for example. So,
Amazing. And it's worth noting, I think, that, we've been talking about cancer as being an inflammatory disease anyway. And so obviously that kind of anti-inflammatory approach is desirable. But they also, on top of that, you have the fact that almost all mainstream treatments for cancer are highly inflammatory, and they also tend to be very damaging to your gut and all that stuff. So any strategy you can have which is going to protect your gut, your microbiome, and is going to control inflammation is going to give you a better ride through treatment. So it's another big reason for omega-3s. So we're out of time. Big subject. Thanks so much for a kind of deep dive there into inflammation. Very illuminating, let's face it, but it is a huge topic. It warrants lots of attention. But it is one in which the direct relationship between how we live, what we do, and that underlying health and well-being is crucial for everybody to understand, because it is so central to our health, inflammation or lack of. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you very much for shining a light on this important area today.
You're so welcome, Robin, and thank you for having me back again.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Have a good day.
If you found that interesting, you may like to know that Pauline's also a published author, so you may want to check out her books, such as Primal Living in a Modern World. Thanks very much for joining me. It's always a pleasure introducing expert guests from the field of integrative oncology to you. I do hope you'll make a point of listening again next week to the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye. Thank you.